You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, I was meditating on the fact, here we are living in time. We're hearing nothing but bad news, it seems like, on the TV, just over and over and over. Even the new administration coming in is talking about how bad it's going to be, you know, not even giving us much hope, you know, about how it's going to be bad for a long time. And, you know, we no longer talk about problems in the area of millions. It's always billions, you know. It's gone from, thousands to millions, and now it's billions. And now we're talking about trillions, and $1 trillion in debt. And I think it's T. Boone Pickens, you know, said, what do you say? It's the first billion that's the hard to make. It used to be million. Now he's talking the first billion. But you can get overwhelmed by that. I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, wow, what's going on with our country? What's going on with you think about the church and the finances and the building and all these things. And in the natural, everybody say natural. You hear that, and you get gas and, you know, and a loan, the mortgage industry and so on and so forth, the housing industry and so on. But then you have to stop and you have to remind yourself, or I catch myself. I go, wait a minute, what am I doing thinking that way? First of all, I'm a Christian. How about you?
Right.
Amen? I have some promises that are more sure than any newscast. And, you know, I'm not an ancient person, but I've been around long enough to see news change from day to day.
Yeah.
I've heard economic forecasters get it wrong.
Yeah.
And I've seen cycles in economies come and go, up, down, whether it's stock market, whether it's business, or whether it's a good regime in the office or a bad regime in the office of the presidency, whether we're looked on as good in the side of the world or bad in the side of the world. You know, those things change. They are constantly changing. But God said He is the Lord God. He changes not.
Yeah.
Amen. And Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away, my words will never pass away.
Amen.
And, of course, this is just basic faith and confession 101.
Yeah.
Amen. But I think sometimes we need to check back in school, go back to class, and see what the Scripture really does say. Psalms 118. This is a very familiar Scripture. I've taught on this before many times. But it's one that we would say or quote or even sing and sometimes don't even think about. Psalms 118. Notice what it says here in the 22nd verse. The stone which the builders rejected. This is a prophecy now concerning Jesus Christ. He is the stone that the builders rejected. Think about the whole Jewish nation rejecting Jesus. He comes along and He is actually the cornerstone that the whole building God's building, the whole temple, the spiritual temple that God's building is built upon this cornerstone, and that's the cornerstone they rejected.
Yeah.
Are you with me? This is prophetic course of Jesus. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I like that. Everything's built on Jesus. This whole new covenant is built on Jesus. He is the first foundation. The foundation of Jesus Christ in your life is what makes you a Christian. And upon that, we build the church of God. But without that cornerstone, without that foundation, we don't have a church. Amen? If we reject that stone, no other stone's going to work. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Everybody say, the Lord's doing. That's important also when you think about it, if you want to just stop and chew on that a while. I like to chew on Scripture. How about you? I don't like to gobble my food. It doesn't digest as well. It doesn't even do you that much good, really, if you gobble it too fast. But if you'll take it slow and chew on it, it'll do you a whole lot more good. Amen? It says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. That's significant because really, when I think about being saved in Christianity and going to heaven and my sins being washed away, it wasn't anything I did, it's what the Lord did. Amen? This is the Lord's doing. In fact, as far as building is concerned, that's what he's talking about, building here. Of course, in this case, building our salvation, building eternal life, building this new covenant, this spiritual temple, holy for the presence of God. He's talking about him building it, not us building it. You know, the Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain. You can work hard all your life, but you can't get saved until you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? If you continue to reject the main stone, the cornerstone, the chief stone, or the foundation, then everything else you build's on sinking sand. Because this thing, this salvation thing, well, it's a God thing. It's not a man thing. It's the Lord's do it, not our do it. And so what we have to do is accept what He's done and not reject what He did. See, a lot of people trying to make their own way to heaven, try to be good enough to go to heaven, so on and so forth. But no, actually, we don't need to reject what the Lord did, because unless we accept what the Lord did, we build in vain. Whew. So, and this is all lead in. This is all prelude into something, a verse that we quote very often. You'll recognize it right off the bat. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it this great salvation? And when you meditate, when you think upon it, you know, I tell you, you can always fall on that, fall back on that. You always got something to rejoice about, something to get excited about, something to be passionate about. You and I are going to live forever. And our sins are forgiven. We have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has done the impossible. With men, it is impossible, Jesus said. But with God, all things are possible. And that was in response to a question that Peter asked. He said, who then can be saved? And he said, well, with men it is impossible. And I agree. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And that would apply even to our situation. Maybe we're depressed about the economy. Maybe we're frustrated about our job situation. Maybe we're going through post-holiday blues. Maybe our white Christmas has turned blue. Hello. Maybe we went into it with unreal expectations. That's pretty common. People have these high hopes, you know, going into holidays, making it something that it's not. It's about Jesus. That's what Christmas was about. I hope you had a good time with your family. I hope everybody got all the presents you wanted. Are you with me? But if you didn't, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. We got something to rejoice about. We got the big gift, the present, the great Christmas gift that never will be topped. The gift of God's Son, eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, it is marvelous in our eyes. Glory. At least the gift's been offered. It was wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Of course, the gift's no good unless you unwrap them. I hope you received the gift. Amen. And then he goes on and says this. Here's the verse. Now, you'll recognize it right off the bat. 24th verse. This is the day the Lord has made. See, really, in context, what he's saying here is this day, this new covenant, new age, new testament day, this church, this new church age, this salvation thing, this is the day the Lord has made. I want to tell you, it's a new day. It's been a new day for over 2,000 years now. Things are not like they used to be. Things are different now. We're living in a new day. You say, really? Yeah, a new day. Yeah, 2009, new day. Oh, new year. This is new. Huh? No, I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. This is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, is this salvation thing still going on? Well, I think so. Wouldn't you believe it's still going on? In this Jesus, this Christianity, this eternal life, this righteousness thing still going on? Yeah, it's still going on. We're still experiencing it. This is still the day that the Lord has made. And so it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what kind of future they're predicting. It doesn't matter what economies do, whether they go up, down, governments fail or make it or whatever. It doesn't matter. This is the day the Lord has made. For me, as a Christian, as a believer, I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I like that. On another note, just as you can look at it this way too, I think Scriptures can be applied sometimes. Maybe there's a big contextual way to look at a scripture. It's talking about salvation, but you can take it in a smaller sense and say every day that you get up, this is the day the Lord has made. I believe that's proper. I mean, you can look at a general law of giving that would apply to anything, or you could apply it specifically to finances or specifically to love, but it's a general law of giving. Well, we're living in the day of salvation, no question, and we should rejoice and be glad in it, but only if we declare it so. We must declare it so, because if you don't declare it so, you don't claim it so, then you are rejecting what He's done. And so for you and I as Christians, one point, sometime in our life, we declared in our life, Jesus is Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I'll accept the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. I'll accept the stone that He built and the work that He did, and I'm a Christian. I'm a believer, and I have reason to rejoice.
Amen.
With joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
Whom having not seen, yet you believe. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Though I have not seen Him, yet believing, I rejoice in this work that He's done. Now, on a daily basis, right now, today, this day, this is the day that the Lord has made. The devil never made a day in his life. I'm making a declaration in my life, for my family, and for my finances, and for my church, and are you with me? For my town, where I live, for me, I don't know about everybody else, but for me, this is the day the Lord, I'm going to declare this is God's day, not the devil's day. I'm not going to let the devil have the day. I'm going to make my declaration. I'm going to make my confession. Whosoever confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Get it? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
So you need to find out who's Lord here. Is the economy Lord? Is the government Lord? Circumstances Lord? Or is Jesus Christ Lord? Is the devil Lord? Are your emotions Lord? Or is that feeling you're feeling Lord? Is that depression, that cloud of frustration, is that Lord or is Jesus Lord? Are we going to accept what God's done? And it's marvelous in our eyes. Or are we going to accept what the devil's doing or man's doing? No, I think I'll just skip on the recession. I don't think I'll join it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Now, practically, I've got to do something. How do I apply that? Oh, it's nice to say I'm not going to join the recession, but what am I doing not to join it? I reject it. My confession is this is the day the Lord has made. My confession is the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't believe that changes with economy. Does that change with any economy? Psalms 23 does not change with economy or times or governments or jobs or no jobs. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I don't believe He's my shepherd when things are going good. I believe He's my shepherd all the time. Woo! I don't believe Jesus is Lord of my life when things are just going good. I believe He's Lord all the time.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now.
Hallelujah. You know, I often reminded of Peter when he walked on the water. You know, that was just such an amazing story. You know, Jesus appeared in the middle of the night and everyone, you know, on the walking on the water, and most of them thought it was a spirit or a ghost, and they were hiding, because it's not a common everyday thing when there's storms and it's dark and somebody's walking on the water. Doesn't happen very often. Are you with me? So they saw this and they were afraid. They didn't know what to do. But Peter recognized it. Jesus said, "It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter said, "Well, if it's you, just say come, and I'll walk towards you. Bid me come, and I'll come." And Jesus said, "Well, come on." I love that. God's never, ever shocked by your faith. It's always your lack of it that shocks Him. He never stops and says, "Oh, whoa, man, you believe way too big here, right? Who do you think I am, God?" You know, no, God's always marveled at unbelief. Hello. He's wanting us to believe. He never turned anybody down that believed. So here's Peter. He's going for it, man. I'm going to go for this. Let's do it, you know. So he steps off that boat, and he walks on the water. And we often talk about him sinking and his lack of faith and, oh, doubting Peter. He doubted and sank. Are you kidding? Every one of the rest of them, none of one of them got out of the boat. He's the only one that got out of the boat. At least he tried. You know, I heard it said years ago, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. He might have got wet, but he got out there and walked. Well, anyway, as he was walking, you know the story, he saw the wind, heard the waves boisterous in the wind, and being afraid, the Bible says he began to sink. And he went into this long intercessory prayer, you know. Actually, he just said, "Lord, save me," because I'm sure after that it had been blah, blah, blah. But Jesus reached down and grabbed him. He must have been right at Jesus because Jesus reached down and grabbed him. So he'd gotten over to Jesus. And he said, "Oh, Peter, why did you doubt?" But I often think about this. Peter thinking for some reason that the winds and the waves and made it impossible for him to walk somehow. Oh man, did you hear all the bad news? Well, what does that have to do with anything? See, what we don't realize is when things are going good, even if the water's smooth, you can't walk on smooth water. What are you talking about? It takes God for you to make it every day. If you've ever made it, it's the Lord. So when things go wrong, doesn't change the Lord being your shepherd. If the winds pick up and the waves start getting bouncy and the economic forecasters start getting negative, that doesn't change anything. I mean, the only way I've ever made it was the Lord. Are you with me? I mean, just think it through. You say, well, old Peter, he should have got his eyes off that and so on and so on. And yes, he should have. He should have kept his eyes on Jesus. I understand that. But smooth water is no easier to walk on than rough water. In fact, it's impossible without Jesus. Amen. And maybe, maybe in one sense what the devil's doing here, trying to destroy our faith, but it can turn around and wake us up if we'll trust God to realize that, hey, you know what? It's always been God that sustained me. So I'm not going to let this rattle me. I'm not going to let it shake me. It's not going to break me. It didn't make me. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to declare this the day the Lord has made.
Yeah, sure. Amen.
And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because you can get glad or you can get sad or you can get mad. Your choice. You can get depressed or you can be on top. You can rejoice. Rejoicing is a choice. Praising is a choice. Don't join the negative crowd. Don't join the down and outers. Amen? This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it now. Notice he goes on to say this. 25th verse. Save now, I pray, O Lord. Save now. He didn't stop there. He didn't just say, this is the day the Lord has made and I'll rejoice. That means something. To the psalmist, he's writing this. He's saying, you know what? I'm rejoicing in this salvation. Now, I'm going to take a part of some of that salvation. I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to declare this is His day. And I'm going to reach out and pray and ask God to bring that salvation to me. Save me, I pray, O Lord. Send now, oh Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. How many of you ever said, this is the day the Lord has made?
Amen.
How many of you ever sang, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord. Okay, you sing that all the time. You know, that's the scriptures right there in the Bible. But the rest of the verse goes on and says, save now, save me, save me. Save now, I pray, oh Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. We need to go with the rest of the verse, amen? You can understand why you'd be rejoicing if you looked at that verse all the time instead of the news. Instead of glued to the news, if you're glued to the verse here, you'd be rejoicing knowing that this is the day the Lord has made. This is not the devil's day. Oh, the thief comes still, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have more abundantly.
Yeah.
You might just turn that around and say it this way. Recession has come and gas prices have risen. And loaning institutions have failed to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come. Y'all catch it? I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, see, you've got to fix your gaze somewhere. You've got to make your call. You've got to make your choice. You stand at the crossroads. You can go that one way over there with the recession, or you can go this way over here and receive what Jesus has come to give. Because Jesus didn't stop coming when oil prices went up. He's still coming. Are you with me? He's still doing what He's always done. He still stands for what He always stood for. He has not changed. He will not change. Not going to happen. The only person that can change is us, not God. We're the only ones that can change. See, God's perfect. He can't change. For God to change, He had to get worse. He can't get better. He's as good as it gets. So He remains the same. Amen?
Amen.
And it all has to do with our perspective in the sense of our faith. You know, I mentioned this when I watched Fox News this morning. I saw Victoria Osteen on Fox and Friends, the early show. Don't do that. Okay. Okay. Is that better? Shoulders back, head up. Okay. And I was just, I was so pleased with the way she did. I thought she just did such a good job, you know. And of course, our connection with Lakewood and all, and I was watching it, and Fox and Friends in the mornings, really, it's pretty good. I like it. I like personally those guys on there. And they were very kind to her and very nice to her, you know, and talked to her about her books. And it was so good when they, you know, they asked her, so what do we do with all that, you know, with all the going on with the economy? People are hurting, and, you know, what do you tell people? I mean, they were serious. They were asking, what do you tell people? She never missed a lick. Just never missed a lick. She said, well, I tell them to keep their faith up. Because you lose faith, you lose your vision. And I thought, wow, that is so good. You know, why back up? Don't join the crowd, okay? Don't join the negative crowd. Stay in faith. Keep your vision up. God's word hasn't changed. Maybe you're struggling in your business. I don't know. Maybe you're hitting some obstacles and roadblocks, you know, with the economy and all. But don't let that be the only source. God may make another way for you, but he can do it. Maybe you've lost your job. Believe God for another one. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change God's word. It doesn't change his promises. See, we have to make our stand. We have to stake our claim. We have to say for us, as far as we're concerned, this is the day the Lord has made. I don't know about everybody else. I can't change everybody else. I'm the only one I can change, me. I can only speak for me. I can't speak for everybody else. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As far as we're concerned, the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Our God shall supply our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, not the devil, not recession, not the economy. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
Save now, O Lord, I beseech thee. I pray, O Lord, send now prosperity. In fact, the Amplified says here, it says, give to us success. I believe he does, amen? He is in the success, whatever that is. See, that just takes care of everything. Whatever it is, he'll give you success. We're not about to go under, we're going over. You know, I remember when Brother Osteen built the old new Lakewood. Let me get my hands back. The old new Lakewood. Not the new Lakewood, but the old new one. If that makes any sense. The old new Lakewood seated 8,200 people. It had an overflow for another 2,000 or 2,500. So it was over 10,000 people they could put in that auditorium. And they moved into it in 1988. That's when they moved into that building. And at that time, as far as Houston was concerned, it was one of the worst economic times in Houston in decades. I mean, they were going through some tremendous economic problems. It was all over the news. It was, I don't know if you remember that, or some of you are too young, some of you are old enough to remember that. And yet they built that thing and paid cash on it. Several million-dollar building. And paid cash in one of the worst economic times they had faced up to that point. For sure in the history of Lakewood Church, but I actually several decades. And it was such a testimony. Brother Osteen, you know, God had spoke to him and to do it, and he did it. In fact, I remember even while that was going on, we went through some tough times in our church. I've shared this many times. And we were, we were behind on some payments. We had paid like 9 late payments that year. We paid them. We praise God we got it paid. But, I mean, we were struggling. I was working in Dallas. And actually, I was building houses, I think, at that time. Just on the side doing stuff. I mean, we were getting behind on our house. We were behind on the church. But, you know, we didn't quit. We talked to everybody. We're doing everything we can. We were in our new building, and the bills just kept coming. The crowds went down. The finances went down. But you know what? The bills kept coming. Always amazed me. It never changed. The payment and everything. But, you know, we kept believing God. And those of you that have been here all those years, you know I never stood up in this pulpit and begged and cried and moaned and groaned and got into Mully Grubs, and we preach faith. We preach God meets our needs. God's going to meet our needs. God's into victory. He's going to supply our needs. We're not giving up. Praise God, this is God. We're going to make it. Doesn't matter what it looks like.
Praise God.
I mean, I never backed off that. We never did. I had some moments where I felt like it. Are you with me? And I'd have to pray, get in the Word, pray. But I never will forget, one week we were so far behind, we needed $2,000 to pay the bills that week, and that Sunday we had gotten in $200. The whole offering was $200. I laugh at that now, because what it takes now to operate, you know, we've had electric bills $2,400 in this building, you know, or $2,000, $2,400 or whatever. But anyway, $200 came in, and we needed $2,000 to pay the bills. And so that week, I'm I'm thinking, well, you know, we really need a miracle. And I really did get in faith. I mean, I really have to be honest with you. I'm not perfect. I'm not Superman. I have my down days like everybody else. But if I do, it's my fault, not God's. But I was really up that week. I was praying about it. In fact, I was watching Christian television one night. It was a Thursday night. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, God doesn't speak to me audibly or in every day. I don't hear a lot of people, God tells them what kind of clothes to put on and what car to drive. It didn't work that way with me. But when he speaks, I know it. I can think of a handful of times I have just heard the voice of God. I know I've heard the voice of God. And I heard it that night. I was watching TV, putting all this off on God, and says, God, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to be concerned about it. You know, I'm just going to believe you and trust you. This is your deal, not my deal. I didn't even want to come up here, but you told me to come up here, and here I am. I will be here till you tell me to go. I didn't come because of good times. I'm not leaving because of bad times. I'm going to stay till you. I hear your voice, and I have never heard your voice to leave. And so I know this is you. I'm going to stay right here. So you're going to meet this need, and I'm trusting you for it. Whenever you get it figured out, let me know. It's not my problem. It's yours. That's the way I pray. I mean, so I was watching Christian television, and the minister wasn't even talking about anything that I was talking to God about. And God spoke to me. Lakewood was going through their building program. They're going to move into this new building. And God spoke, says, you receive an offering Sunday morning and give the first $1,000 to Lakewood's building fund, and I'll make sure you get your $2,000. Now, in the natural, you're thinking, now, Lord, I might remind you that we had $200 offering the week before. I need $2,000, and you're asking me to give the first $1,000 to Lakewood, and then we'll have the other $2,000? Now, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know on paper that does not work. Are you with me? But God spoke. What do you do when God speaks? I mean, what would you do if God just showed up at your house and told you something like that? Go make that cake a meal, that last cake a meal you got. You make it and give it to the prophet. And you're thinking, God, if I do that, I'm going to die. What are you talking about? No, if you do that, God will bless you. Amen? So I got up and I preached that morning. I was all excited. I was really excited. I didn't make a big deal. We didn't make a big pull. I didn't have people stand up, who give 100, who give 1,000, who give 10,000, who give, you know. Didn't do any of that. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine if you want to do that. I just didn't feel led. I just told them what God said. I said, we're going to receive this offering. And I remember telling them, I said, come back tonight, and if that money hadn't come in, you can take me out in the parking lot and stone me. I'm not a prophet of God. I lied to you. Smiled when I said it. Because I wasn't believing. I'd heard God. There's a difference. Now, obviously, I had to trust him, but I had heard God. I heard that. And we had a gravel parking lot at that time, so it was really, you know, pretty gutsy to say that. But anyway, turned out, had the biggest Sunday night crowd we ever had that night, obviously. People came back. But we got $5,000 in offering. Now, you know, $5,000 now on our offerings now is not that big a deal, but boy, it was a big deal then. It was a big deal when your offerings is $200 for a week. And it was just having a tough year and a bad year. But, you know, we decided that we had, and made that decision long ago, that we were going to trust God. That it really didn't matter what was going on. Did we go through tough times? Well, sure we did, but we came out. Y'all catching the point here. You may be going through a tough time, but don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose your faith. You keep confessing God's word. This is the day the Lord has made. Don't let the devil have the day. Don't let the devil have your marriage. Don't let the devil have your business. Don't let the devil have your sanity. Don't let the devil have your walk with the Lord. Don't let him have your church. Don't let him have your city. Don't let him have it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. And we'll pray, Lord, save us. And Lord, send prosperity. And he will. Because he's faithful. And he always comes through. And he never lies. Amen? And he can be trusted. And his word is true. And it doesn't have any, it's not contingent on any circumstance, any situation, any economy. All it's waiting and contingent on is your faith. That's all. If you will believe, not only does Jesus say that all things are possible to God, but he also says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believe. Now, boy, it takes a focus in this day and age for sure, to focus in on that, to not be swayed by the reports and the bills and the economy, because, you know, we live in a world that is affected by that. We live in a time where people are affected by that. You know, I can look at the books and notice things begin to change a little, you know, if we start looking at the totals that come in and so on. But, you know, we stop and we go, wait a minute, what are we doing? We're believing God. We're trusting God. There's plenty of money out there. There's plenty of God out there. Take care of the situation. You know, I was meditating the other day. First of all, you don't get your mind on all that anyway. You keep your mind on the Lord. Actually, as far as money's concerned, we ought to be interested in reaching people and changing lives and empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, when Peter needed money to pay taxes, Jesus said, go drop a line out there in the water and pull a fish in. Pull a fish in, it had gold in the mouth. Which really speaks volumes to us. The gold's always in the people. We just need to keep fishing. Keep fishing. Keep doing what we're doing. God will make sure the gold comes in. The gold's in the fish. Now, I'm not saying go out and look at a lost soul and see dollar signs. I'm saying that if we'll get with the business of being fishers of men, the business of reaching our community, the business of praying for our city, the business of the gospel. God didn't call us as a church to be in the money business. He called us as a church to be in the life-changing business. Are you in the soul business, people business? That's what we're in. And so, you know, in this last year, we haven't cut back on our missions giving as far as all the people. There's not one missionary that we support that we sent a letter to and said, we're not going to be able to send you your money this year. Not one. Don't cut back on things like that. You got to have some rules, you know. Right. You got to have some standards. You say, okay, that's one thing we're not going to do. Most churches do that first thing.
That's right.
Things get bad, first thing they do, they start cutting back their mission program. Well, you're about to kill the goose that laid the golden egg.
That's right.
Because missions is the heart of God.
That's
amen.
Right.
And God's blessed us. And I'm not here complaining, griping, and giving a sad story. We are blessed. We are debt free. Amen? We are debt free. Because we believe that our God shall supply our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We believe that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not lack. We believe that this is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we pray for the Lord to save us and the Lord to prosper us, and he does. Notice that next verse, 26th verse. This helping you? I know it's repetitive. I know it's redundant. I know I repeat myself a lot, but that's good. That's how you get it. I know if you've been coming here any time at all, you probably heard this similar message to this, you know, and something along these lines. Hallelujah. Anybody ever ate steak more than once? I'll tell you what, I get a hold of something good, I want to go get it again. I'm just liable to go back and get it several times in my lifetime. I find a good restaurant. I'm bad about going to a restaurant and finding a good dish and going back and getting the same thing every time. Vern will say, honey, why don't you try something else? I said, well, I don't want to. This is good. Yeah, it was good every time you've come for the last 10 years. Just try something else. But, you know, I hate to. It's good. It's working. Why mess it up? It's good. 26th verse. We'll wrap this up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Man, I like that. If you want a good report, you want to hear a good message, you need to listen to him who comes in the name of the Lord. And if you want to get depressed and down, you can listen to him that comes in the name of the economy, him that comes in the name of the oil company, him comes in the name of the auto industry, him that comes. But but see, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. I like that. Our blessing doesn't come from the world. It comes from the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yep.
So if you keep your eyes on the house of the Lord, and if you believe your blessing comes from the house of the Lord, and you're listening for him who comes in the name of the Lord, that would be someone like me, preacher, or anybody preaching the word, or just get in the word yourself and find out what somebody said that came in the name of the Lord. If you'll do that and keep your eyes on the source, which is always God, in good times or bad times. Smooth water or rough water, doesn't really matter. When everybody else is sinking because of stinking thinking, you can be walking on the water Amen? Because you're looking to the house of the Lord for your blessing, and you're listening to him who comes in the name of the Lord with the word of God. Amen? And you're declaring, well, this is the day the Lord has made. I don't know about man. I don't know what man has done. I don't know about these problems and those problems, but I know that I'm not going to reject what the Lord's doing. Is this getting in you? Oh, y'all getting it? Is it coming again? Is it dots connected? I'm not going to reject what the Lord has done. And the Lord's done some marvelous things. Not just our great salvation, but he has supplied our needs. He is also our provider. He's our healer. He's our life giver. He's our forgiver. Amen. He's our strength. I mean, you go through the list of things that he is and what he has done for us. Let's don't reject what the Lord has done. Amen? Because it's marvelous in our eyes. And let's declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. Wouldn't your life be better if you did that? Think about it. I can think how much better my life is when I get away from the bad news and I start confessing God's word. I can sense a lifting even when I say it. I don't know about you, but when I start, I make a lot of confessions. I mean, I get the Bible out and read through Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses. I'll read Psalms 91 and just start confessing those verses and making them personal, you know, and start quoting different verses in the New Testament, supplying my need according to riches and glory. He's come to give me life and life more abundantly. And as I do that, it's like a lifting. I just get lifted. I mean, that weight begins to just come off me. Now, you know, we can all do that. Not only can we all do that, we should all be doing that. Yeah. Amen? That's what I saw in Victoria Osteen this morning. I saw someone that just wasn't fazed by what was going on in the world. I saw someone who had not lost her focus. I saw someone who had just decided, you know what? I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm going to keep my faith up, and I'm going to keep my vision up. Yeah. See, without faith, you don't have any hope, don't have any vision. But with your faith, you have hope and you have vision. Yeah. I saw that, and I thought, yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank God for Victoria Osteen. Thank God for people who keep their faith. Amen. Thank God for you. Thank God for me. Thank God for this church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. Amen? Amen? We're not just going to make it. We're going to have success. Yes. We're going to prosper, not just monetarily, financially, but we're going to prosper. This is going to be a great year for us. Amen. I'm excited about 2009. Yeah. I think it's going to be divine.
Amen.
2009. Not to try to make a rhyme there, but I mean, it's going to be wonderful. This is going to be a God year for us, okay?
Amen.
It's going to be a God year, not a devil year, not a world year, but a God year. Hallelujah. It's going to be our best year ever. Hallelujah.